The psychologist Philip Tetlock, after listening to one of my talks, reported that he was struck by the presence of an acute state of cognitive dissonance in the audience. But how people resolve this cognitive tension, as it strikes at the core of everything they've been taught and at the methods they practice, and realize that they'll continue to practice, can vary a lot. It was symptomatic that almost all people who attacked my thinking attacked a deformed version of it, like, it's all random and unpredictable, rather than, it's largely random, or got mixed up by showing me how the bell curve works in some physical domains. Some even had to change my biography. At a panel in Lugano, Myron Scholes once got into a state of rage and went after a transformed version of my ideas. I could see pain in his face. Once in Paris, a prominent member of the mathematical establishment, who invested part of his life on some minute sub-sub property of the Gaussian, blew a fuse, right when I showed empirical evidence of the role of black swans in markets. He turned red with anger, had difficulty breathing, and started hurling insults at me for having desecrated the institution, lacking pudeur, modesty. He shouted, "I am a member of the Academy of Science," to give more strength to his insults. The French translation of my book was out of stock the next day. My best episode was when Steve Ross, an economist perceived to be an intellectual far superior to Scholes and Merton, and deemed a formidable debater, gave a rebuttal to my ideas by signaling small errors or approximations in my presentation, such as Markowitz was not the first to, thus certifying that he had no answer to my main point. Others who had invested much of their lives in these ideas resorted to vandalism on the web. Economists often invoke a strange argument by Milton Friedman that states that models don't have to have realistic assumptions to be acceptable, giving them license to produce severely defective mathematical representations of reality. The problem, of course, is that these Gaussianizations don't have realistic assumptions and don't produce reliable results. They're neither realistic nor predictive. Also note a mental bias I encounter on the occasion. People mistake an event with a small probability, say, 1 in 20 years, for a periodically occurring one. They think that they're safe if they're only exposed to it for 10 years. I had trouble getting the message about the difference between mediocristan and extremistan through. Many arguments presented to me were about how society has done well with the bell curve. Just look at credit bureaus, etc. The only comment I found unacceptable was, "You're right. We need you to remind us of the weakness of these methods, but you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater," meaning that I needed to accept their reductive Gaussian distribution, while also accepting that large deviations could occur. They didn't realize the incompatibility of the two approaches. It was as if one could be half dead. Not one of these users of portfolio theory in 20 years of debates explained how they could accept the Gaussian framework as well as large deviations. Not one.